Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got the city behind me right now with, you know, NFL free agency and the Orioles opening against the Red Sox types. And we've been trying to get this guy on for a couple of months, and there was just, I don't know, just an election and an insurrection and just all sorts of things going on down in Washington, D.C. He is the author of my all-time favorite NFL book. The Big Game is out there, and one of Don Mohler's favorite books on politics in this town. We welcome back in from the New York Times, a very, very busy, like a real journalist, you know, guy mud on the hands journalist, Mark Leibovich, joins us again. Man, you're writing another book. I mean, you dumping back into this Colin Kaepernick NFL thing, or is D.C. keeping you busy enough right now?
D.C. is keeping me busy. I might write a book on D.C. I mean, I don't know. There's so many books that are coming out about the Trump years and stuff. I don't know if I want to revisit all of that, but I might. I think my next book will be a political book. Nothing concrete yet, but after that, I'm going back to the toy department. I might do either the NFL or the NBA.
What would your, at this point, what would the, give me a little overview on the book without giving it all away. I'm not going all out on Gladwell. You have to give me the whole concept, but just where are you? Because that probably will set the tone for the whole conversation above and beyond the NFL, because I mean, I knew of you as a writer, and when Big Game came out, so many people I knew said it was great. I got it kind of right away, and I fell in love with your writing style, and then went back to this town and all that. But I don't know what to make of this. Don ran Baltimore County, and you know, we sit here and we do a thing called the Recon now once a week as part of our like little podcast thing to try to make sense of a time that you've been there a long time and dug in and wrote books on this. This is even something different, right? This is another level.
Oh, absolutely. So we're talking, okay, we're talking about football. We're talking about
DC.
DC. It's another level, but it's calming down. There's no question this thing is calming down. You know, Biden, I think, was not the most exciting candidate, not the most inspiring choice for a lot of people, but he was good enough. And I think a good portion of this country just wanted to calm this thing down. This thing being government, Washington, the people who run your country. You know, I think stolen election claims, 150 votes against certification for the Electoral College based on very little evidence from what I could tell, an insurrection, people dying, political like violence, like inspired certainly by the president to a lot of people. I mean, that's a bridge too far. And look, this all had been weighed in on. The electorate made its verdict before this. They made it in November, and this sort of affirmed it. I mean, I think Biden has taken a very low-key approach. I'll be curious to see what his press conference looks like, but I think it's not a bad thing at all for the country, for Washington, or for Biden, for politics to be boring for a while.
Well, Don, I want to bring you in on this because, I mean, you love the backstory. And I, when I told my wife and I handed your book, Big Game, I said, you know, you're the best at doing the backstory. Don loves the inside of what's going on there. Don,
for me or Don,
are you with it? No, I was welcoming Don in. I think Don's mic's not where it needs to be. Don's
I'm here.
Go ahead. But Mark, for you, the political intrigue, all of the Trump wacky press conferences and bleach and all of that, hey, we've had 2 months of calm and vaccines going in arms. My feeling is, if football's normal, to bring that, you know, to circle by September, that would be a measuring stick to say, all right, things are going the right direction for this country.
No question. I mean, look, I like Don, I'm always hungry for intrigue, for the backstory, for, you know, feuds and quiet stuff. But look, I mean, Trump gave us like 100 years worth of that stuff. I think we're just all sort of OD. It'd be, you know, what would be nice, and I think what people are very eager for is the pandemic to be behind us so that we can actually enjoy non-political pursuits like going to a ball game. I mean, I cannot wait to go to a ball game. I mean, I'm not as, I used to love baseball. I really have had a hard time with it for the last decade or so.
I talk about that every day. I mean, that's why you're here talking politics with me, because I cannot sit in Baltimore and talk about relief pitching right now.
It's brutal. What I mean? Yeah, it's, but baseball's got some real trouble. But what it does have, unlike the other sports, is the ability to, on a summer night, there's a game every night. You can go. You don't have to spend $1 million, get a ticket, get a couple of beers. And
well, you do
a
Fenway Park.
I love Fenway Park. I love Camden Yards. I love National Park. I mean, it's like it's the probably the best thing baseball has gone for it now is the venues. I mean, there are quite a few good venues, and then unfortunately, the game has to start at a certain point.
This whole thing began for me with you with the NFL and sort of you writing about what was my life. Like literally, I read the book. I'm like, I was in the room there. I was in the room there. He read the room there. You're like all of the craft stuff and the Jerry's, like all of that stuff. The big piece of you being around then has to be Kaepernick now, right? That was Stick to Sports. I mean, I was at Wembley when the Ravens took the first knee on that Sunday morning. It certainly changed cancel culture. I got canceled by a lot of people that day, right? You know, over in London, when the Ravens got their ass kicked, Trump's running the country, SOBs, all of that, right? And now here we are, next presidency for a guy like you that writes books about such things. The NFL, as much as you wrote about it, really is a weird sort of thermometer and tone setter for where all things are, because it does involve black and white and right and left and rich and poor and east and west and tribal is all hell, right?
Yeah, and they just keep making money, right? I mean, they got this new TV deal and stuff. Look, Colin Kaepernick still is not employed.
He was blackballed. Come on,
he was totally blackballed. Yeah, no, there's no question about it. It's a stain on the league, and I think it might be getting close to too late to like have him. I mean, what is it? He's got to be like well into his 30s now, right? I mean, his skills. I mean, he was definitely either a starting or a first tier backup quarterback when he was first blackballed. You know, he's certainly better than a lot of quarterbacks. And now who knows? So, yeah, I mean, that's a stain. I mean, maybe at this point, if someone actually did sign him, it would be kind of an empty gesture. It'd be like a gold watch kind of thing. So, but like, look, America loves football. America absolutely loves football. I mean, Baltimore loves the Ravens. We had a bad year and my guys had a bad year, but we might be coming back next year. And look, the NFL, I don't love the league. They didn't love my book at all. I mean, I'm not like they're.
No, I mean, I was getting ready to say.
They hate it.
Don,
no,
I don't know if you read the book, but I'm going to opine right now. And I'm going to jump in the middle and say, I'm not sure if Roger Goodell really has the shield tattooed on his ass as maybe his wife intimated or didn't intimate.
His wife was on the record. I didn't do the checking.
What's amazing. What's amazing to me with Goodell is that this past year, the Coco aside, right, at 11 o'clock for the draft picks, but then the league takes this wild left turn, you know, toward equity and inclusion and every commercial break. And it was just I was here 3 years ago and Colin Kaepernick's over there. And I remember talking to Anquan Boldin and talking to players about this issue. I remember talking to players in the Wembley locker room, after they took the knee first and all hell breaking loose with the Ravens organization and military all along all of that. I think I tweeted, it makes me want to throw up a little bit in my mouth, you know, like especially watching the Super Bowl, which was just one gigantic thing that they swore they would never do 3 years earlier, literally. Right.
Yeah. I mean, look, the country, I mean, and Goodell apologized, didn't he? He said like Black Lives Matter. I mean, look, it was over the top. It was ham-handed. I don't know if it's sincere or not, but I guess it's better than nothing. I mean, again, I'm as cynical as you are. I'm as cynical as anyone is. But I think, look, they are, if nothing else, a weather vane on where the country is, where they think the country is. And, you know, whether they're, you know, they might be full of shit or quick. Can I say that?
Ooh, yeah, you just did. It's great. Perfect. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. Like, wow. I forgot. I mean, I get the Zoom.
I've read your work. I mean, I know
yeah,
you
know,
weren't blue.
But like, there are regulations here. Anyway, beat me if that's like, we're taped. So do something with that or whatever. I just don't want to get you guys in trouble. But hey, you know what? I appreciate the gesture. If that's what it was, it might have been an empty gesture, but it's a gesture nonetheless.
All right, Don, you're in on this thing. I think your mic's working now. Go for it.
I don't know if it's working or not.
It is working perfect. Great.
You'll let me know. Well, Mark, jumping back to the political side, I'm always amazed. I spoke to a political insider just the other day, and they're already polling, which doesn't surprise you, regarding 2022. My question for you is, what issues, if you watch 24-hour news cycle, it's one thing after another, after another, after another, everything's a crisis. Yeah. What issues, if you were writing a preview now for New York Times Magazine, what issues do you think will be resonating in 2022?
It's a great question. I mean, you know, with the caveat that quite often in politics, the thing that you never would talk about could be the thing that everyone's talking about a year from now, like the coronavirus last year. I mean, who in January of 2020 would have been saying, you know, the corona, what was a coronavirus, right? I would say a couple things. I mean, Democrats would love it to be about the economy turning around, the virus being sort of kept in check with the vaccines, you know, successful rollout over a number of months, economy coming back. And Trump, they would love to talk about Trump, because I think the more involved Trump is in this next midterm election, the more disruptive he could be within his own party and the better it is for Democrats. I think Republicans probably want it to be about immigration. They probably want it to be about cancel culture and like the Democrats sort of maybe they feel overreaching with too much identity politics and too much, you know, just like getting overly concerned with things that like don't really just seem a little bit much for like Iowa and Indiana in the middle of the country. But look, I mean, Trump is not the kind of guy who, if he is healthy and if he is still politically viable, which I assume he will be, he's not going to go away, and he's going to put himself right in the middle of the action. He's going to make it known that he is the kingmaker. He sees himself as the kingmaker, in which case you're going to have a lot of primaries, Republican primaries, that are going to cause all kinds of problems potentially. So,
well that's a question I have for you, Mark. Yes. That's a great segue, because when you talk about Trump or Trumpism, and then these primaries, just some recent articles been written. You in fact, may have written one. But these right-wing Trumpist candidates who, you know, Missouri, the ex-governor who resigned in disgrace.
Right.
And those candidates, the landscape, from where you sit for the grand old party?
I think I lost you there for like the last 15 seconds, Don.
Are they are those far right candidates a real problem for the GOP?
Could be, absolutely. I mean, like, you know, the Trumpier they are, I mean, they could win in like Wyoming and Oklahoma and places like that, and probably like Missouri. But once you get a little more purple, like in Ohio, or potentially, I mean, there could be open seats in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Wisconsin, all of which either Democrats won or came very close to winning in North Carolina. So if you get a real Trumpy candidate there, I mean, that's good news for for Democrats. And then, you know, you have Ohio, you have potentially Missouri. I mean, Missouri's pretty red these days, but not as red as Oklahoma. And, you know, they've had Democratic senators as recently as a few years ago. And so, yeah, if like they nominate some off the rails guy who's got some serious problems, like the former governor you mentioned, Eric Greitens, that could be a real problem for them. So they could cough up some seats that should be easy wins for them.
Well, Mark, who is the GOP? This is what Nestor and I keep coming back to. You know, when I look at Senator Cancun and Fist Pump Hawley, I say to myself, and maybe you shed some light on this, does Senator Cancun and Fist Pump Hawley, do they believe this far right crazy stuff and they just feel free to say it? Or are they just little boys with their finger in the wind? That's what I can never figure out.
Yeah, those two are probably more the latter, I would say. You know, they're really ambitious. They both want to be president. you know, I mean, I think who is the Republican Party? I mean, right now it's still Trump. There's no question about it. I mean, whatever Trump, I mean, if you look at the Republican platform that they put out last summer, it was whatever Donald Trump wants. I mean, we don't even bother with ideas anymore. They just sort of gave the whole party to the guy.
That includes not getting a shot, right? Literally. Like, that's one of the reasons I'm going to get a shot quicker is because somebody in Missouri just says, I'm never getting a shot, right?
Yeah. No, no. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's, there's that. I mean, look, I mean, that's the thing about the coronavirus is this stuff has real, like, real world effects right now. I mean, you know, for as long as like half of Trump supporters don't get vaccinated, I mean, we're not getting, there's not going to be that. So look, I mean, but the party is Donald Trump. And I think a lot of them, a lot of Republicans, especially elected Republicans, would love to press a button and have him go away, but you can't and expect to keep your job. So you can't.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah, Don, you're
a traditionalist.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me at all? I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. I don't know what's going on.
Go throw your point.
The traditionalist, the McConnells and others post election would have taken an opportunity to put a stake through the Donald's heart. And they did exactly the opposite. Try to sort that out for me politically. Why didn't they see it was to their advantage?
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was to their advantage. I mean, unfortunately, you know, you can't press a button and say Republicans want this, therefore it's going to happen. I mean, there were seven Republicans who voted for conviction, which is a lot of Republicans. I mean, by far the most bipartisan impeachment in history. I mean, there haven't been a lot of them. But yeah, I mean, I think even people who voted against impeachment would love for him to go away, but he can't. I mean, like, he's not going anywhere. It's not, this is not what he does, and it's not what the voters want. So that's your Republican Party right there. It's like what the voters want. And, you know, maybe he's not as like totally popular as he was 4 months ago. Maybe he lost some support around January 6th and his conduct after the election, but you know, they could start the primary tomorrow. He'd win 50%. There's no question.
Do you really think anything will happen in New York with, you know, attorney generals and such? And obviously the run that's being made at Cuomo now and his seat. But the notion that he broke laws and should be in jail.
Yeah, that could happen.
That's still very much in play in my mind.
Oh, no question. I mean, McConnell said as much. You know, McConnell said that in his his on impeachment, or in the day they voted against conviction, he's basically said, you know, prosecutors, you can do your thing. I mean, he sort of opened the kimono on that. But yeah, I mean, sure, it looks like, I mean, they got a really serious case. They've obviously looked at a lot of stuff. I mean, there are other entities who are looking at stuff, whether it's the, you know, U.S. Justice Department or the Georgia authorities. I mean, Trump has got all kinds of exposure. I mean, precedent suggests that he does tend to skate in some way, but who knows? I mean,
when you're caught on tape coercing an election, I mean, that's so outlandish as the, like, if you were writing a movie, no one would believe that, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, I mean, he's been writing the movie. He's been writing the same movie for 4 years now, right? 4.5 years. So, nothing. I mean, that's the thing about him. He's sort of like, nothing surprises anybody anymore, and everyone just sort of says, "Yep, that's our guy." And I mean, look, I mean, the dirty little secret about politics across the board is that people are pretty loyal to their guy or gal, right? And no one more so than Donald Trump. And I think that, you know, he might be shrinking a governing. I don't know if he could get elected president again. I'd be kind of dubious about it, but people who are still with him are still with him in a big way.
All right. Way out
yeah,
the
I think he's.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
No, I was just going to say real quick, I can't let Mark get out the door. Mark, if you were fast forward 2 months from now, where are we with the filibuster? I'm going to put you in a time machine. Where are we?
Yeah, I don't think it goes anywhere unless there's something really dramatic happens. I mean, look, they just don't have the votes. I mean, I don't see them bringing any Republicans over. I don't see Manchin or Sinema coming over. You know, I think if it happens, it might happen if Democrats pick up maybe 3 or 4 seats in the midterms and they got a little cushion and they don't have to worry about Manchin and Sinema anymore. And then, you know, they could really be in business, because, I mean, it sounds like there's a real appetite to do it. But you know, it's 50.
Well, it's the only way to get anything done. Nothing's getting done, right? Literally for the people.
Well, something's getting done. I mean, they did the party line thing on COVID relief, which is a big deal. I mean, that's a lot of money infused into the economy, and it's popular, and Republicans don't really want to talk about it. And if you could do something similar on infrastructure or get another sort of big victory for Democrats, which would be in conjunction with a surging economy, which could be the case in a year, and a healthier population. I mean, he could really have some wind at his back going into the midterms, especially if the Republicans are as divided as they are right now, which they very well could be, right? So, so that could be set up really well for him, except as we have learned, you just can't predict anything in politics. There's, there's trouble at the border. There's like mass shootings. I mean, like no one was focusing on that 6 months ago because everyone was too busy, worried about the coronavirus, and people still are. But I mean, look, you can't, I think we've all been around too long to know that you can count on momentum at any given certain time. Because I mean, a year ago at this time, or at least maybe a year and 2 months ago at this time, it looked like Donald Trump was cruising to reelection. So who knows, man?
Hey, man, it's always great to visit with you. I love your books. I'll be looking for the next one. I've been preoccupied with that Vancouver Canucks pennant behind you.
You know what?
Whatever that baseball is, I don't.
Thank you for noticing. I found it at a thrift shop right around D.C. I love the old logo. I put it there, and every time I go on, like, MSNBC or something, there's always like five or six Canucks fans who say, "Hey, why do you like the Canucks?" And I have to tell them, like on Twitter, "Hey, I don't like the Canucks, but I like the pennant and I like the old logo." And really, how can you not? I mean, that's not like a throwback thing that was made 2 months ago. That's got to be right from the 70s. So I don't know why it's so great, but I just, it's just a stick. It's simple. And their nickname is simple, the Canucks. Like, is that like even PC anymore? I mean, who cares?
Well, the Flying V was like beautiful back in the early
days. It was, but that was like more modern, right? I mean, that was, anyway.
40 years ago.
Yeah, so I'm for it.
Mike Reno from Loverboy was wearing that when like Loverboy was getting lucky. I mean, we're going way back, dude.
Wait, are they Canadian? Are they from Vancouver?
They are. Yes, I saw a Mike Reno who looked like he had eaten Mike Reno after a Canada Cup game up there a couple years ago. So no, I was there to see the Police reunite. So it was just a little thing going on
to Vancouver. So,
yeah, they opened the tour in Vancouver when they reunited.
When was this?
07, 08, 09, they all run together somewhere in there.
One day we'll talk about this.
Well, we will, and I'll figure out whether I get my Houston Oiler trash can in here. Now that I go with these fake green screen Zoom backgrounds and I'm COVID hair and my rock and roll, dude. No. But you're in D.C., I'm here. Listen, I owe you dinner. I would go to Philomena or something, but we'll do some pho or something off the beaten path that's fantastic for D.C. one day. I need to come down to D.C., man. Thank you very much. Man. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Nestor. Thanks, Don.
Mark Leibovich joining us here. Don, with a little technical difficulties, but we worked through it. I mean, it's a Catonsville Dundalk thing. We meet in the middle right here in the Inner Harbor. Our friends
I think it's
Fabian's.
A plot.
I know you love Leibovich so much. So we're going to be over at Fabian's getting crab cakes. We're going to be a lot of places getting crab cakes. Don and I are doing a weekly, a series now. Well, if I called it a podcast, the kids would listen to it. We're just getting together for a segment every week, just he and I, doing something called the Recon. I hope everybody's checking that out. Now out in the podcast audio vault, anywhere you get podcasts, all of our work, including Luke, getting you ready for opening day. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, we never stop talking. Baltimore positive and crab cakes.